Hello, welcome to Spotlight, illuminating the art of the island.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, you may have seen the wonderful-looking creative Isle of Man trail guide in various locations around the Isle of Man. We have a chat with its creator, Scott Pearce, to hear how it came about. More from poet-organiser extraordinaire Saoirse Coyle Carroll on an event which is almost certainly a first of its kind on the island. And Ori Wilson tells us about his play, in which he also has a starring role. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in planning, hoping to create, or would really like to put in that spotlight. Poetic, theatrical, musical, literary, ceramic, sculpture, drag, playwriting, of course, social media, all the rest. Just email me, howardcain@manxradio.com, Cain with an E, or spotlight@manxradio.com. I'd love to hear from you. I will get back. Let's get you on the programme. So, if you've been out and about recently, hopefully you have, it is the summer after all, then you might well have seen some of the wonderful little booklets, Creative Isle of Man Trail, which invite you to explore the island's artistic life and heritage and plan your own creative route to explore the artisan shops and studios, workshops, spaces, and indeed culture of the island, with some creative eateries thrown into the mix as well for the inner man, and indeed inner woman. It's all the brainchild of Scott Pearce from Element Isle Jewellery. I dropped into his shop and studio to find out more and began by asking him how the idea for the trail originally came about.
Well, it's really about trying to raise awareness, really, of all of these great creatives that we have on the island. Lots of other places that we've been when we've travelled around, so say through Scotland and Scottish Islands, they do a really great job of surfacing their creatives. We know a number of people in Orkney, and they're, for the population that they have in Orkney, the number of creatives that they have there is really quite astonishing. And lots of places lead from a visitor perspective of kind of leading by surfacing these creatives for visitors to see and to kind of come and visit. So in terms of the concept, it's something that we've observed working in other places, and we thought, well, you know, we should have something like that on the island. And then some initial conversations with other people, they thought it was a good idea as well. So we've essentially kind of clubbed together to produce a trail guide booklet of a number of locations around the island. And we want to try and focus on what it is that makes the island different and inspires us all as creatives. So in terms of the landscape, the heritage, our culture, our folklore, all of these aspects are things that kind of we have that are unique. And in terms of visitors to the island, there's something that they kind of seek out. And we've had people come into our shop and ask us, you know, where can we find other people? So we thought that this would kind of work well. And then it kind of cross-pollinates as well. So everyone that's in the guide has a pile of kind of brochures on the side, and there's some eateries in there as well, which kind of works well because people start to suddenly plan their day. So they think, I can go to this area, see these people, and then we can get something to eat, and then we can carry on, rather than feeling as though they have to make a special excursion just to maybe visit a site. So we're all kind of in it together. We've all kind of just contributed the same amount to be in here. And essentially the costs are just to cover the production costs. So it's not a commercial venture in its own right. It's about trying to raise awareness and have that, basically have this good trail as an activity that visitors can do.
How did you go about populating it then? Did you sort of put something out on social media or contact your friends or contact your friends of your friends or...
So we reached out to a few people. We tried to draw up some kind of quite strict criteria because what we want it to be, that these are places people can go and visit rather than there's a few existing outlets for creatives in terms of great work that say like the Arts Council does or Creative Network does, we have a page in the guide about the Creative Network, so it lots of the creatives on the island don't necessarily have somewhere that you can come and visit. So we wanted to make sure that we didn't exclude them, but the main focus is that we want people to be able to come and see what people are doing. So there's a few shops in there. There's a few places that are more like workshop-led. And we've also got kind of a few things in the back of the guide. And there's room for it to expand over time for people that actually are workshop first. Mm. So rather than it being kind of like a commercial outlet, like a shop where someone would go to, that they can actually contact people and register to do an activity while they're on the island.
And how do you perceive it being used then? Do you see this idea of people picking up and, as you say, doing a trail or sort of planning a day around rather than just a list of artists and artistic outlets and such like?
Yes, and that seems to be what's happening. So we've tried to kind of put a simplified map in the front of the guide and try to highlight maybe the main routes between places, because obviously we've got a lot of roads and someone could get a little bit lost, but also to try and navigate that a bit, we've also included things like what three words, so rather than just an address, which could be tricky, and also I know lots of visitors to the island use things like road numbers and their GPS, and I know a couple of the road numbers. I know them all by name. So in terms of trying to navigate and find somewhere, then that's something that we've included, because that like pinpoints the exact location. And we've also tried to include all of the opening times and facilities and if there's parking.
I mean, so now, where do people find it, or how did you actually distribute it? How did you go about thinking about distribution? Because clearly it's only as useful as many copies are actually picked up.
That's a great question. So we've got, everyone that's in the guide has a supply of the guides, but then we've also had a lot of support locally. The Steam Packet have put it on both of their vessels. They've also included it in Heysham and Liverpool terminals. So people travelling to the island can pick it up on the way, and then they can sort of while away the hours on the ferry, kind of looking through and trying to sort of plan some activities. It also works very well with the weather that we're blessed with, that when it's sunny, obviously there's lots of things that we can do, and when it's not so sunny, then there's lots of places to shelter and drive around to. And then mentioning there in terms of driving around, all of the hire car companies have agreed to take it. A number of them have even got them in their glove boxes in their vehicles. The Welcome Centre are stocking it as well. And I've been in talks with Visit Isle of Man. Potentially they're going to take it to their World Market showcase event to raise further awareness with travel agents that are coming. And actually, I was talking to a travel agent today that's UK-based. They're sending over 20 agents over to the island later in the year for a familiarisation with the island so that they can market the island. And they're very interested in being able to supply it digitally, because we've got a website up, so there's a PDF on there, and they can supply it digitally to prospective people that are interested in coming to the island to sort of help demonstrate some things that they can do. So, because we want it to, initially, it's something for visitors to do, but ultimately we would like it, as with many of the Scottish islands, it actually becomes a primary reason to come to the island. We've had people change their travel plans. We had some Americans in the shop. They were traveling through Europe and they actually changed their travel plans to come to the island, to come and see us. So the more that we can raise the awareness of what makes us unique, I think then it really helps to try and bring more people here.
Absolutely. And you obviously had the concept here. Were you involved in the execution, i.e. some of your design and editing and such like, or was that handed to a third party?
Again, a really great question. So we compiled a lot of the information, but actually what you see in terms of what you hold in your hand when you look at the guide, it's the work of a guy called Tristan Gell. He's done a really great job of laying out the whole thing and making sure it kind of ties together clearly and neatly. And we've had a kind of a bit of to and fro over times of how to try and like make things a bit clearer, but he's really done a really good job of trying to make everything have its own personality as well, because the trouble is, because we're trying to relay information such as opening times and locations and what there is, it could become very much just like a form, or very too regular. And when the whole idea of the trail guide is to show the creativity, that's the last thing you want. You don't want it to look kind of just every page to look the same. So he's really done a great job of trying to pull out different aspects, and the whole thing works together really well.
And just finally, obviously, it looks great. It's been around a lot. It's beautifully produced, as you say. It is entitled the Creative Trail 2025. Does that suggest that you're seeing it with a sort of 12-month lifespan and it will be renewed, or how do you see that going forward?
Yes, that's certainly the plan. The bulk of next year's guide is already done, because trying to set it all up, the first run that's where most of the work is. We want it to run sort of year on year. So if there's people that are out there that also want to be in the guide, especially in terms of maybe they haven't got a physical premises that could be visited in terms of regular opening hours, but they do offer, say workshops, then it would be great if they get in touch, and then we can factor these things into the next guide.
Brilliant. And the easiest way to do that, via the website, or?
Yes, there's a website, creativeisleofman.com, and there's a place on there that someone can download the brochure digitally, and there's also another page there with the contact form. So that's an easy way to get in touch.
It's a great idea. And as Scott says, you can check it out online, creativeisleofman.com.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
If you're a regular playgoer on the island, you'll know that, like most things arty, the Isle of Man punches way above its weight when it comes to playwrights. We had Jenny Derbyshire on the show recently, whose play Shelter won not only the Easter Festival, but also the UK-wide Derek Jacobi Playwriting Competition. Well, hot on her heels comes another young playwright whose debut play, In Their Blood, will receive its premiere later this month. Ori Wilson is no stranger to the stage. She's been Young Actor of Man, Young Singer of Man, and indeed is off to drama school later this year. But just to complete the skill set, he's now turned his hand to writing. Ori and director David Dawson dropped into the Spotlight studio to tell me more about the play.
So it's all about life in the mining communities we had on the Isle of Man, and it's set in Laxey in 1833. And it's quite, it focuses on this Callow family and how they adapt to the world around them and the ambitions of each character and how they see themselves on the island and in their communities.
What was the sort of inspiration, but what drove you to want to write a piece based on this?
I first did it really, my teacher at school, Mr. Craig, suggested that I should maybe write a piece because he said it might help with drama school auditions. And in that same week, my mum had also said, how about you think of writing something because you've got a few ideas. So I thought, well, I'll start doing it. So I did, because I thought no time like the present, so might as well crack on. And I was discussing a few ideas with Emily Musgrove, who is just a year below me. And then I ended up with this idea of a play set in Laxey about the miners, with a few sort of historical truths woven into it, but it is a fictitious story. And Yeah, this is how it was created.
Had you done much in the way of writing before, either for plays or storylines or poetry, whatever the case may be?
I'd done a bit for GCSE drama, because we have to write a devised piece for that. And then again, for A-levels, for BTEC Performing Arts, we had to write a play. And also, I've always enjoyed sort of reading classical novels. I like to read plays, so I thought, well, I think I've read enough now where hopefully I will be able to write something. So then I approached Alex Armstrong, not really expecting much out of it, just for a bit of feedback, because I know he likes his plays. And then he said Parados would be interested in putting it on. So that was
brilliant.
An exciting twist here.
Absolutely. And more to the point, you sort of, I was going to say, did you audition? Because you were actually sort of playing the lead.
I am, yeah.
And was it a given that you sort of said, well, it's my play, or did you have to audition for it yourself?
I was quite reluctant to take it, really.
Yeah. It's a strange one, playing the lead in your own play. Yeah.
It's quite an out-of-body experience in some ways, writing something and then having to say it out loud and hearing other people say what you have written as well and saying it very well. It's a strange experience, but in a good way.
And is it for you, Dave, as director, is that sort of added pressure? Because, I mean, you're no stranger to directing, of course, we all know that. But when you're directing a play which is written by the person who's in the lead, you must sort of, in your own head, I mean, Ori's probably got an idea of how he's seen it, and then you'll have an idea how you see it. Do you sort of discuss it, or how's that
work? Yeah, it's been really, in all honesty, Howard, it's been really wonderful. I'm going to just point out, because I think people need to know that this play is a stunning play, first and foremost. Ori has done a fantastic job, I think. There aren't many people out there who I know who can firstly write a play. It is a challenge in itself, and to create one which actually is such a wonderful piece. And you know, Ori is a young man, and I think people might therefore think it might not be a strong performance or a strong piece, and actually, it's a really stunning play and a really stunning piece of work. So I really commend him on that. And but he's been wonderful to work with, because not often do you get a chance to get hold of something that's brand new and fresh and hasn't been seen before. So we've been able to sit there, and actually he's been really good, because we've run things, and once you put things on its feet, it can be very different to how it's written down. And actually he's been really, really good at just kind of talking to us and going, well, actually, you know, does this really work? Is this word right here? Is what this character's saying, does that actually work? And that's been really good, to just kind of bounce ideas off and kind of tweak things. So the script has slightly changed, but not massively. Only a few things here and there. We've kind of gone, oh, maybe it feels not too right at this point for this character and things. So we've kind of played around with it, and actually that's been great fun as well. I, at the end of the day, it's been wonderful. I would never want to come in and go, no, I'm going to do it this way, because it's been wonderful having the writer there. And we've talked an awful lot about each character and the motives and what his vision is, and also, you know, trying to put our own spin on things as well, a little bit, in a sense, to make sure it sells well to the audience and they're really getting what we're trying to get across. So it's been a joy.
So would you say, from your point of view or perspective, easier or harder having the writer there? And as much as on the one hand you've got the writer there, you can just say, is this what you meant? Or
in a sense it's been easier in certain ways. I mean, you know, I'm sure you know, Howard, it can be when the director gets hold of something, if the writer isn't in the room, then things can change and it'll be, well, we'll do it this way or we'll try it that way. But it has been, I think it's been really professional. Ori's been really professional with it. We've talked and discussed, and it has helped. It has helped. And I think it's helped the actors to really understand their characters as well, because we've been able to put it on the floor and ask questions. And I think he's, without giving too much away, he's been brilliant, because it's lovely it being an Isle of Man story, and he hasn't done the kind of the trap of falling into, well, I'm just going to make it about a mining disaster, you know, and such. He's which obviously, you know, there's history there of that. He's tried to really show the story of the troubles of a family, but the same kind of troubles that you can still get today, and that's the brilliance of his writing. It's timeless. It's about people, and it's about their problems, the things that we face. So as an audience, we can connect with it beautifully. We just came from a rehearsal this morning, and I find myself really, really involved just emotionally with them. I was there at one point, and I had such a big smile on my face, and then I clocked that I was just following their characters with their joy. And then it just transpired and changed into a few more other kind of steps along the way and twists, and it just pulled me in. And that's when you know you've got a good piece of work on stage, when you find you're mirroring those emotions at the moment in time. So it's been great.
And so staging-wise, any challenges there? Is it being done sort of straight? Obviously, a period piece.
Yeah, so this was an interesting one, because Ori already kind of had in his head the idea of the set, which isn't always maybe something you get from a writer. I saw the image, and actually I thought, yeah, this could work really nicely. Chatted with Alex and Charlie from Paradox, and we've tried to create a staging where we don't have to do, which I always hate, is the old blackouts in theatre. Yeah. I'm never a fan. So we've managed to get it so we can keep the story continually moving from scene to scene and place to place. And we have got a really wonderful local cast as well. There's 13 in the cast, so
wow,
it's a big,
sizable,
big cast.
Yeah.
And everybody, there's some newer faces there who I've never worked with before, and they've really impressed me. And it just shows you the abundance of talent we have on this island. It's great.
And from your perspective then, Ori, now that it's on its feet, as it were, you're moving it, you're playing it, it's getting there. Is it as you saw it in your head when you were writing it?
It's strange, but in a wonderful way, I think, because there's a few things, like as I was writing it, that I think, well, how is this possibly going to work? And you get a bit stunted with it. And then I think this is the great thing about having David on board, because then you say, oh, not sure about this. You can just jump on straight away, say, well, how about we do it this way? Like, yes. Brilliant, have we not thought of that? but no, it has been good to see it. Obviously, it's things evolve and adapt as they should, and it has changed slightly, but nothing that's things that only benefit it rather than hinder it, I think.
And have you enjoyed the writing process? Because, I mean, I don't know how many takes or how many sort of versions you went through. Quite often people write something, then scrap it and rewrite it and then scrap it again. Was it like that for you? Or?
Yeah. I think I wrote because really what it was, I had a few dreams, really. It was strange. I had a few recurring dreams and thought, well, I'd watch this if this was a play, because I wanted to write something that would interest me as an audience to watch. So then I wrote the first draft of it, read it through, and thought, well, this is boring, not a fan of this at all. And there was about six characters, I think, in that version. So then I redrafted it, wrote it again, was happier with this one. Then I thought, I will leave it a few months, so then I can come back to it with fresh eyes. Mm-hmm. So then I came back looking at it in about November of last year, re-edited it again, and now that's the main body of the one we've now been working with then a few minor tweaks.
But it's been really impressive, though, because you know, one thing that in my role you're constantly having to, especially with a new piece of work, is you're constantly having to just double check that things are as factual as they can be, if it's going to be based in a period piece and things. And there's been quite often where I've had to kind of go, I need to just look at that, I need to make sure that's accurate and things. And he's hit every piece. Yeah. You know, there's everything. You can see he's done his homework. You know, this isn't a young man who's just sat down and gone, this will be lovely, I will write this and that will work and things. And, you know, and that's what's nice, because, you know, as an audience, you want to believe these characters, but if there's things that are jarring, it instantly takes you out. Yeah. And it has been every single way I've gone, right, that needs research. Oh, actually, he's fine. That needs research. Yep, that's fine as well. So, so he's really, credit to him. It's a really impressive piece, and one I think that we'll probably see in future at maybe some of the festivals as well. I would have thought maybe done by a different cast with a different director at some point. But it's lovely that this is the first time that anybody's going to get to see it, and if you are a Manxy, then then you'll definitely love it, and you'll definitely connect with it. And even if you're not, you'll still really enjoy. If you enjoy plays and you enjoy drama, it's a fantastic piece. It really is.
So the nitty gritty then, yes. What, where, when? When's it going to be performed? Where's it going to be performed? And how can people get tickets?
Would you like to take that, Ori?
It's going to be on at the King's Court Theatre at King William's College from the 14th to the 16th of August. And the tickets can be found on Ticketsource.
It's ticketsource.co.uk/King Williams College.
Brilliant. Suitable for all?
Suitable for all, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the very final question is, I mean,
quite early yet because you haven't actually done the premiere of this, but do you feel inspired to maybe write another play? I'm not suggesting next week, but you know, do you enjoy the process enough to think, you know what, I might sort of, when inspiration strikes again, I might do something else?
Yeah, I think I would. I've had a few ideas. Well, now I've, you know, told my family about it and they all know. For Christmas, I got quite a few. Oh, here's some big journals, write something in this. And I think, well, feel obliged to now, so might as well.
I hope you do, because as I say, I think you've got a great talent and a bright future, I think. So, yeah, please do keep writing.
I think it's good for us.
Break a leg for the play, and we wish Ori every success at drama school and his future career, whether that's as an actor, writer, or even singer, or maybe all three. I'm sure it'll be good, and hopefully we can stay in touch. In Their Blood is at King's Court Theatre at King William's College from the 14th to the 16th of August, and tickets are available from ticketsource.co.uk/King-Williams-College. We heard from poetess and organiser-in-chief Saoirse Coyle Carroll last week about her fundraising event for Palestine, or medical aid in Palestine. Well, hot on the heels of that, she has another event in October, which by her own admission is somewhat experimental. And whilst I've certainly heard of them, I think it's the first time that the concept has been tried on the Isle of Man. That's jazz and poetry. Intrigued? Listen on.
My good friend Matthew, he's a poet, but also I think he's a PhD in music, which is crazy. He's very much a jazz player, loves jazz music. And we kind of had this idea of like putting the two together. I've seen it done a few times when I lived in London, and he saw it a lot when he was over in Colorado, I think. That you combine the two, so it'll be a live kind of jazz band just playing whatever their music they feel, and then the first half will be an open mic night for people to come and just try it out. I mean, it could go not very well, or it could be really great. And then the second half of the night is going to be some of the Manx Bards who have been previously the Manx Bard, and a few other poets I know, who I think that their style of poetry will really fit with the sort of jazz theme. And yeah, we're just going to try and combine the two and see what happens, really. It's going to be a very experimental evening. So if people are into that sort of thing, very experimental music and spoken word, lyrical word, stuff like that, then I think it'll be fun. Hopefully there'll be at least, you know, a few minutes of enjoyment.
I like the confidence there.
Should
be a few minutes to enjoyment.
A few minutes that are absolutely magical, hopefully.
Will it sort of be the jazz and then poetry, or are you hoping, because certainly, again, I know from my own experience that there has been, certainly going back in the 60s and whatever, Mike Garrick and a few other players used to do basically the two together. You'd have, you know, a jazz band playing and then someone not singing, but actually sort of doing poetry with the
jazz, trying to go along with it.
Exactly so. Yeah.
That is the vibe, hopefully. I've never done it before, so I'm going in completely blind and completely naive. But at least we're all in it together then. So it's just going to be a very experimental evening, just a bit of fun. But the plan is, if it does go well, to then have... this is talking where my brain goes.
Yep.
But to have different nights. So, like, the next one could be, like, I don't know, lyrical music, or then like trad music, and trying to put poetry to different mediums, which, I mean, could work or it could not.
Well, you don't know until you try.
Who knows? Yeah, exactly. So I think they'd go very well hand in hand, music and poetry. All artistic forms, in my opinion, do. So it'll be fun. It'll be a fun night.
It will be fun. So it's for the broad-minded, or those who like something a bit exciting, a bit different, a bit experimental.
Yeah.
Tickets again, are these going to be on the door via X Poetry, or how people get those?
Yeah, so X Poetry, we're just going to maybe do £5 a ticket just to cover venue hire, because we want to make it accessible for everyone. That's the plan. And then it's just... buying tickets beforehand. Obviously, poets, people performing, would go free. It's like we've got one at Laxey Glen next month with Pippa Lovell. So that's the same. It's £5 tickets, but you get a free cocktail on arrival. But it just means that it helps cover venue hire. So yeah, lots of poetry going on, really.
It's terrific, and something a bit different. So it's and the poets who just give us the poets again for the jazz poetry. Then is that sort of an open book, or you've got a certain poets in mind for this?
So I've put out a few feelers for it. There's going to be an open mic at the start, for anyone. My good friend Owen Atkinson, they've agreed to do it, and then Jackie, who's a big poet, she's also very, very into jazz music. I've asked her, but the plan is to just kind of once it's out, any like poets who want to perform can just contact me and let me know, and then whoever doesn't do that, they can just rock up to the open mic night. But I think Owen's particularly, and Jackie, their music, their poetry is very suited to that sort of space, potentially, from hearing them anyway. I don't know if I will be doing any, but we'll see. Yeah.
I'm so annoyed. I was hoping to be involved, and I can't actually make it. I'm already committed to another arty happening elsewhere. Let's hope it's not the last such gig. That's about it for now. We'll be back next week. See you then. In the meantime, be good at whatever you're doing. Be creative about it. Hey, Mo.